This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, and oh man, I don't know about you, I am enjoying the new, much more focused, much more nasty Donald Trump. Donald Trump Part 2 is just my speed, and we will talk about a lot of that tonight. So here are a couple themes that are going to be on the show. We're going to talk about changing the way things are and why there's so much resistance to that. You see it globally. You see it in America. I'm going to talk about the January 6th political protesters being sprung. Josh Hammer is going to join us about a half hour from now. Trump's trying to end birthright citizenship by order. Can he do it? We know it's good. Is it going to get shot down? We'll talk about that. We have former FBI special agent Steve Friend. He's going to join me next hour. He has some grave concerns, and so do I, about this lag and what they're doing in the FBI. We'll discuss that. Mass deportations are here. The World Economic Forum is back in the news. And can the communists change their ways? And if not, why not? All that and so much more is coming up tonight. I don't even know how we're going to get to everything on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get into anything else, what happened to the January 6th political protesters was one of the most evil things this country has ever done. It really was. We had that ugly protest that got a little spicy on January 6th. We don't even know how many federal law enforcement officers in the crowd instigating. We don't know. But whatever happened on January 6th, after it, Joe Biden's government, his DOJ, saw an opportunity to paint you, all of us, as domestic terrorists or either potential domestic terrorists. Remember, they never cared about January 6th. They were never stressed about it at all. It was all just about turning the guns of the federal government against you. Always remember this when it comes to communists. We'll come back to January 6th specifically in a moment. Communists believe in using power, you already know this, to reward their friends and punish their enemies. And every single time communists have taken power in a country, Soviet Union, China, East Germany, Cambodia, you name it, every single time they have taken power, Venezuela now, they have tried to figure out and eventually did figure out how to use all those guns of the federal law enforcement or the military. How do we use all those guns against our domestic enemies? Look at all this power. Look at what we can do. If we can just find a way to justify it, then we'll use that power against our political enemies. Stalin was obviously one of the first, one of the ones who really wrote the book on this. And if you know anything about the history of the Soviet Union, you know we've talked about this before. He would simply haul people who were either his political enemies or he thought a potential threat to him. He would find a way to get his federal law enforcement arm to get some charges on these people to justify sending them to the gulags or lining them up against the wall and firing a bullet into their head. He found a way to take the force of government and turn it against his political enemies. Mao did the exact same thing. Cultural Revolution, you already know about it because you listen to this show, where Mao had developed enemies, political enemies in his country. His policies had been disastrous. They had been deadly. And he was finding himself on the outs with a bunch of people. What did Mao do? Mao found a way to get the guns inside his country turned against his political opponents. And then as soon as those little monsters got done beating to death all of Mao's political opponents, he, of course, sent in his Red Guard and dragged them all out to the countryside where they were shot and starved to death. Pol Pot did the same thing. And American Democrats did the exact same thing, granted on a much smaller scale, in the last 4 years, and they did so using January 6th as the justification for it. None of these people were ever stressed about January 6th. There was an unarmed protest that got a little bit out of hand. There was no insurrection, and Democrats know it. What they know was January 6th, because it provided some bad optics. We don't like seeing riots when it's our side doing it, and it didn't look great. They saw an opportunity, and they took it. And that opportunity was, hey, we had this protest. It took place in Washington, D.C., a place where we control every single lever of power from top to bottom, from the city to the federal government. Hey, what if we just went after all these people and called them terrorists and threw them in federal prison? Many of them will kill themselves. We had multiple kill themselves because the federal government took people with no criminal record and started throwing them in federal prison or threatening them with federal prison as if they were Osama bin Laden himself, and innocent people have suffered mightily. And Donald Trump, you know, I have been critical of him in the past. I was very critical when he first started running for office again, that he had not spoken up about the January 6th political prisoners. He was really silent on it for a couple of years, and I was vocally critical about him about that whole thing. And all the credit in the world goes to Donald Trump today, because Donald Trump sat down day one and he turned them all free. A freaking wonderful moment. Good job, President Trump.
So this is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon.
Yes.
Full pardon.
Full pardon or commutation?
Full pardon. We have about 6 commutations in there.
He didn't tiptoe it. He didn't do what a lot of people were worried about, myself included. Well, I mean, but do a case-by-case basis. If somebody made me uncomfortable, I'd... Nope. Sit down and turn all of them loose, and he did it. Credit goes to him. But setting that aside, every single January 6er listening to the sound of my voice, I just want to say congratulations. I am sorry your evil government turned against you. I am sorry for how evil Democrats are. I'm sorry for the loss, because you don't get those 4 years back. Lots of guys, they won't get their wives back, girlfriends back, boyfriends, husbands back. We had people whose children turned them into the federal government. As communists always do, they will find a way to turn families against each other. Family members turning in family members. Evil communists, all of them. And I'm sorry you had to go through it. I'm sorry you lost 4 years. I'm sorry for the family members of those who passed on, like Matthew Perna, took his own life, couldn't deal with it, took his own life. His poor sweet mom has to live with that forever without her baby boy. So we will not forget the evils the communists did. But wow, good job, Donald Trump, and every single January 6er. I'm glad you're free. I'm very, very glad you're free. You know, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, I have been loudly speaking up for these people for a long time, because I despise when the powerful come down on the powerless. I hate these people who did that to them. Matthew Graves, he's already sailing off into the sunset. Merrick Garland, Lisa Monaco, these are the names. Remember, these things didn't just happen to the January 6th political protesters. Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, Lisa Monaco, Matthew Graves, the evil communists in this country who did this to the little guy have names. and punishment must now come. I realize Joe Biden will be free of that, at least in this life. Lisa Monaco's not free of that. Merrick Garland's not free of that. Matthew Graves is not free of that. There were no preemptive pardons issued by old senile Joe on the way out the door for the people in the DOJ. Donald Trump did the right thing. He pardoned these people. Now let us see if Pam Bondi will do the right thing and throw communists in prison for their evil deeds. Congratulations, January Sixers. Now let's move on and talk about, there's so much wonderful stuff to talk about. We will dig into that now. Before we dig into that, let's talk about your dog. We had a bunch of people over to the house last night, a little neighborhood party. We actually popped a bottle of Let's Go Brandon wine. I didn't partake. I don't really do wine or that kind of stuff anyway, but we had a bottle of Let's Go Brandon wine, watched the national championship game, and guess who was the star of the party? Freaking Fred. We kept him in the room, and everyone protested so Fred could come out and love on everybody. Big, fluffy idiot that dog is. And everyone loves him. And we love him, too. It's a blessing. My mom took him for a walk today in the neighborhood. Fred takes off on her. There's a big group of kids. Fred takes off on her because the kids started calling his name. They knew Fred, and he ran over there like the fluffy moron he is and got a bunch of love, and then he came back. That's why we give Fred Rough Greens. Every single meal, Rough Greens gets sprinkled on Fred's food because his dog food gives him no nutrition. If we don't give him Rough Greens, all natural nutritional supplement, he never gets food. But because of Rough Greens, he doesn't have digestive problems anymore. His coat looks better. It has everything your dog needs to live longer. Call him. Get a free Jumpstart trial bag, 833-33-MY-DOG, or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, and one of the big executive orders that Trump handed down already was this executive order that says, hey, the birthright citizenship stuff, that's going to stop. And just so you know, and maybe you're new to all this, here in America, they have misinterpreted the 14th Amendment for a very long time. And as a result of that, they've done it on purpose. As a result of that, if you are an illegal and you come into the United States of America, if you're a woman, you're pregnant, and you come into this country, you can be the most illegal of illegals, and you have that baby in America, that baby is an American citizen, the way they interpret it now. That's completely wrong. Trump said, no, that stops. Josh Hammer is going to join us in about 10 minutes from now to find out, is that executive order going to hold up? What's the Supreme Court going to say about it? So that is coming. But I wanted to get to this email because it's going to take me along the theme for tonight. Historical Oracle. There's obviously a war going on in America right now. That's why the pardons on both sides of Inauguration Day, it really felt like a prisoner exchange to me. What does the Oracle see coming next in this war outside of the communist legal obstructionism? Well, what's happening right now, it is an assault on the way things have been for a very long time in this country and in Western civilization. And this is what I mean by this. For the longest time, Republicans, Democrats, it didn't matter. There were a bunch of things, so many things, that were just accepted as right, good, the way things are. This is the only way it can be. Any adjustment to these things is tantamount to being the end of the world. And this lasted, like I said, through Republican presidencies, Democrat presidencies. And right now, what is happening, not just in America, I should note. Canada's seeing this. We're seeing this in places like Germany, France, other places. What's happening is the people themselves are starting to rise up and reject it. And it's not It's not purely a rejection of communism. I want to be clear about that. It is a rejection of common held beliefs of the elites who run Western society. People are sick of what they have done with Western society, and they want something different, which brings us to Trump 2.0, the second Trump administration. Why did he get elected by such a wide margin? Why is he's not backing off of any of his campaign rhetoric like presidents always do when they get elected. If anything, he's ramping it up, and yet the people are still loving it. Poll after poll after poll shows he's more popular now than the day he was elected. People are loving it. Why? Because what Trump represents, what he represents is a rejection of the way things have been. And people in so many different ways are sick of the way things have been. Here's a couple different things. Trump is going to declassify Martin Luther King Jr. files, the JFK files, and the RFK assassination files. Now, that's just a small part of this, but stay with me here. Why were those things classified anyway? The JFK files? Why? Maybe you could understand in the immediate aftermath and whatnot, but the president of the United States of America was assassinated. He was shot in the head. The federal government went out and gathered a bunch of intelligence about who may be responsible, about the circumstances around it. And after gathering all of that intelligence, the federal government promptly said, "Oh, sorry, you don't get to see America." Beep, classified. When you do things like that, and then everyone just accepts it afterwards, every one of them, every single president could have declassified it. I don't care what their name is. Bill Clinton, Reagan, Trump the first time, Obama, all of them, Carter, Ford, you name them. They all could have declassified it, but the way things have always been was keep it classified. That's just the way things have always been. This new version of Trump is a complete rejection of the way things have always been. And that is music to your ears for the most part. There'll be things you don't like. There'll be things I don't like. That's music to your ears. That's music to my ears. But understand the people who have been holding power for a long, long time, they are scared to death of it. Scared to death of it. Because it means the end for them. Here's a good example. Gaddafi, or any leader, any dictator, any king. When the rebellions get too big and their men can't hold them back for long enough. Well, it just happened to Bashar in Syria. We'll use Bashar. He'd held power forever. Wars, rebellions, all kinds of things. Forever. Finally, he loses. What's that drive to the airport like when you know you don't rule anything anymore? Nothing. What's that feeling when you're leaving your palace and you're going to God knows where to be a nobody? The feeling you've lost it all, Bashar al-Assad. I don't know why I call him Bashar al-Assad. What's that feeling like? That's what our elites dread. I'll touch on that some more after we talk to Josh Hammer. Next.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and joining me now, my friend, host of America on Trial. Also, he wrote a book, Israel and Civilization, my friend Josh Hammer. Josh, Donald Trump wants birthright citizenship. Well, he wants to stop these anchor babies from coming over here, crapping out a kid and giving them citizenship. Can he do this by executive order?
Jesse, well, first of all, I have to say that I love this phraseology of crapping out a kid. Not exactly how you would see it in a United States Supreme Court opinion, my friend. But I love it nonetheless. So this is a longstanding debate when it comes to the 14th Amendment. And I don't want to nerd out too hard when it comes to the citizenship clause in the 14th Amendment. Basically, the legal debate comes down to what the phrase, quote, subject to the jurisdiction thereof means. And I'll leave it at that for now. But the key point, I think, for our purposes is that this is a question that the United States Supreme Court has never actually decided when it comes to the children of illegal aliens, a.k.a. anchor babies. There is a tremendous amount of disinformation on this particular topic. So there is an 1898 U.S. Supreme Court case called Wong Kim Ark. It's a case involving Chinese immigrants out in California. And there, the court decided that the children of legal aliens, people who are here on a visa, they are temporary permanent residents, they have a green card and so forth. Their children, the court ruled in Wong Kim Ark, do get 14th Amendment birthright citizenship. I happen to think even Wong Kim Ark was actually wrongly decided. There was a robust dissent, which at the time included Justice Harlan, the greatest justice of the era, who he was the lone dissenter in the Plessy versus Ferguson case just a few years prior. But in any event, that case, which the media loves to cite when it comes to the anchor baby question, it only had to do with the children of legal, not illegal aliens. And then the court was totally silent on this for another 84 years. It was then a case out of your state of Texas called Flyler versus Doe in 1982. That was the next time the court touched the question of birthright citizenship for illegal aliens, and they didn't actually rule on it. They basically just dropped a footnote in the middle of the opinion and said, oh, by the way, Wong Kim Ark, that case from 84 years ago, we interpreted to apply to illegal alien children too. But that's not binding. That's not how it works. That's what lawyers call dicta. It's basically just a phrase that's tossed in there. So the media says, oh, you can't do this. The Constitution prohibits it. Nonsense. Total nonsense. This legal question has never been presented to the United States Supreme Court in clear, direct fashion. I think that Donald Trump is on totally sound ground. I think it's also fantastic policy. It's the kind of thing that I've been pushing for many, many years. I know a lot of conservatives have been pushing for it as well there. I'm frankly just astonished that he did it day one, astonished in a good way. I mean, this is real guns blazing stuff, Jesse. I had high expectations for this MAGA 2.0 administration, but to go in there and try to ban birthright citizenship by executive order day one, honestly, that surpasses even my already high expectations.
Okay. Again, I'm speaking with Josh Hammer, host of America on Trial. Josh, setting aside the, you know, some young guy case or whatever that Chinese one is out in California, does this go to the Supreme Court again? Now, what happens from here? Is it already the law? I doubt that. But what happens from here, detail-wise?
So it's already being sued. So blue states, the ACLU, various, you know, pro-immigration, open border groups like that, they're already suing. So it probably is just a matter of time until this thing finds its way to the United States Supreme Court. That's where things get interesting. I do not think that there are five current votes to uphold the interpretation of the 14th Amendment that I have just said that I agree with, namely that the phrase subject to the jurisdiction thereof means that you have to be here at a bare minimum legally in order to get birthright citizenship. I am skeptical that there are five votes. I wish I were wrong, Jesse. I hope to be wrong on this. But if I'm just trying to be an objective kind of predictor, if I'm trying to prognosticate where the current votes on the court come down there, I see Clarence Thomas, I see Sam Alito, and then I see question marks on basically everyone else. So let's just play this out a little further. Let's say that I'm correct and that the Supreme Court, when this thing gets litigated there, ultimately rules against the Trump administration. Rules incorrectly, but rules against them nonetheless. That would present Donald Trump with an opportunity to pull what I like to refer to as an Abraham Lincoln. So famously, there was the Dred Scott case, probably the single worst case in U.S. Supreme Court history. From the late 1850s, Chief Justice Roger Taney famously ruled that black people are not citizens and can never be citizens. It was a horrific opinion, wrong morally, wrong legally, and so forth. Abraham Lincoln, when he was president, basically stuck two middle fingers to the United States Supreme Court. He said that he would not apply that ruling as it pertains to anyone else other than the slave in question, Dred Scott. And sure enough, he did ignore it. He actually issued passports to free blacks in the Western territories of the United States in direct defiance of Dred Scott. So if I were advising Donald Trump what to do, if the Supreme Court ruled against him here, would be to basically say, you know what? I appreciate your opinion, but when it comes to my administration, to my executive branch, I get to interpret the Constitution for myself. I am not bound by your rulings for anyone other than the plaintiffs in this particular lawsuit. I hope he does that, Jesse, if it comes to that. It would be a fantastic moment to take a true Lincoln-esque constitutional stand. I don't know if he would do it. I'm hoping it doesn't come to that because I would love for the court to rule the right way. But that's potentially where we're heading here.
Okay, so finally, his legal team, I'm not talking about his personal life lawyers or, you know, Alina Haba or these types, his legal team, the ones who are going to be digging into this stuff, do you like them? Do you trust them? I don't know these people. That's your area.
So he has an excellent Solicitor General of the United States coming on right now. Andrew Bailey, it looks like, is coming on. Andrew Bailey is coming in here as a Solicitor General of the United States. He is just truly fantastic. Actually, Jesse, sorry, I'm correcting myself in real time. Bailey is not the Solicitor General of the United States. It's actually a former Solicitor General of Missouri. I'm getting my Missouri lawyers confused there. I knew that didn't sound right. But in any event, he has a fantastic Solicitor General of the United States coming in here. Look, when it comes to Donald Trump's actual top-notch lawyers, he has fantastic legal talent around him. Now, it's true that he has a knack in the past for picking some lawyers who maybe are better suited towards being on camera a little bit as opposed to being in the courtroom. But when it comes to actual courtroom attorneys, he's done very well for himself overall there. And he's going to be in good hands. Now, having said that, you know, oral advocates can only do so much when it comes to the courtroom. It really does come to the justices. I expect that most justices on the court probably, again, I hope I'm wrong here, but I would anticipate that most of them are probably just going to default to the way that most courts have interpreted this provision for the past 30, 40, 50 years there. But I hope I'm wrong because that's an incorrect interpretation in my opinion.
Okay. Josh Hammer, you are the man, my friend. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Jesse.
Well, that was my clarification. Josh and I had not actually talked about that before he came on, so I found out when you found out. So this ending birthright citizenship, the anchor baby problem, the fact that these illegals, they know they just have to hop over the border, have a baby, and it's an American citizen, which is a ridiculous, insane policy, not at all what the 14th Amendment was about. But where does it go from here? Trump wants it to stop. Brave thing to do. Appreciate he's trying. It goes to the Supreme Court. Josh Hammer, one man's opinion, but Josh is pretty friggin' smart. Josh says he doesn't think the Supreme Court is going to rule our way. And then Josh thinks Trump should defy the court. Now, Trump 1.0 would not have taken that step. Trump 2.0 just might. This Donald Trump sure looks so far like the kind of guy who might just do it. And I hope he does. All right. Back to what we were talking about, the changing of the way things are. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, if you want, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Back to what we were talking about. What is it? What is Trump 2.0, and why is the system, why are the globalist communists, whatever way you want to put it, why are they so mortified by it? Because what it is a rejection of them. It's a rejection of the way things have been for the longest time. And for these people, it represents a real threat to the power they hold. I brought up Gaddafi and Bashar al-Assad of Syria, but Chris brought up a good one during the break. Napoleon, right? These guys who rise to the mountaintop, kings and monarchs or whatever they may be, and they hold on to power for so long. Now, I can't relate to this. You can't relate to this, but think about this. Do the best you can to put yourself in their shoes. Imagine having a palace, several of them, servants, a fleet of cars, private jets, stakes. You rule everything. You are a ruler. And then imagine the phone call comes one day. We can't hold the rebels back any longer. You're going to have to escape now. Your power is gone forever. No more palaces, no more jets, no more pools, no more caviar, no more nothing. I don't expect you to feel sorry for any of these people, but what does that feel like? If you're Napoleon, you're essentially the emperor. You find yourself eating cold soup on a miserable island one day. What does it feel like to have risen to the top and then have it all come crashing down? The globalists, that's what they see happening in front of them right now. A rejection of them, and they're terrified. And that's what makes them so dangerous. I'm going to play something for you. The World Economic Forum has not gone away. That evil communist organization run by Klaus Schwab. It's not gone away at all. Klaus Schwab just gave a speech. I think this was yesterday. Listen to what he had to say.
Care for the next generation fails.
Chris, stop laughing at his voice. It's immature when you laugh at his voice, Chris.
Care for the next generation fails. We risk depending into self-serving and short-sighted behaviors that undermine collective progress and lead to profound societal and political shifts. To counter the erosion of hope and confidence in our future, we must go beyond reacting just to crisis. We must focus proactively, shaping the future in strategic, innovative, and constructive ways, despite the intense short-term pressures and problems which we all feel.
Do you like the island? My grandmother had an island.
Chris, that's enough. That's enough. That's not what Klaus Schwab... That's enough, Chris. Anyway, did you hear what he said? It was only like 45 seconds. I'm going to play it for you again. I want you to listen to it again. I might stop it a couple times. He sees what's happening out there as a rejection of him and his globalist elite friends. This prime minister and this senator and this president and this CEO... He sees it happening. He knows it's happening.
Care for the next generation fails. We risk depending into self-serving and short-sighted behaviors that undermine collective progress.
That undermine collective progress. These short-sighted behaviors. What are these short-sighted behaviors? What, you want to... You want to deport a bunch of illegals? We have a big collective thing we're progressing on now. We're trying to fill Western civilization up with barbarians, and you're stressing about a couple rapes? Get serious. That's the kind of thing.
And lead to profound societal and political shifts. To counter the erosion of hope and confidence in our future, we must go beyond reacting just to crisis. We must focus proactively, shaping the future in strategic, innovative, and constructive ways.
People are losing their trust in us. It's essentially what he just said. They're losing their trust in us. And so we have to stop just reacting to a crisis. Think about COVID. That was the system reacting to a crisis, the system finding a way to seize more power and money. He said, we have to be more active now. The elites feel it. The people who have been running Western civilization for decades, probably for as long as you've been alive, they are feeling a profound rejection of them, their power and authority. And in large part, that's what Trump represents. A completely new way of thinking, a different way of doing things that's not traditionally Republican, it's not traditionally Democrat, it's totally different. And this is not a big Trump suck-up session, which you know I don't do. He's different. I'm looking right here. Trump says he's thinking of imposing 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico in February. Tell me the last American president who even considered slapping what is essentially a gigantic fine on our two neighbors if they don't adjust how they've done things. You would never see that from a Democrat. You would never see that from a Republican. Not in your lifetime. Donald Trump comes in there. He's talking about buying Greenland.
Greenland is a wonderful place. We need it for international security. And I'm sure that Denmark will come along. I think, you know, it's costing them a lot of money to maintain it, to keep it. The people of Greenland are not happy with Denmark, as you know. I think they're happy with us. We had representatives, my son and representatives went up there 2 weeks ago, and they like us. So we'll see what happens. But Greenland is necessary, not for us. It's necessary for international security. You have Russian boats all over the place. You have China boats all over the place, warships, and they can't maintain it.
Who talks like that? What you're seeing is a rejection of the system, and the system knows it. Tell you what, I'm going to continue along those lines because the system doesn't know how to react to this. Before I get to that, I want to talk to you about Pure Talk. I want to talk to you about switching your cell phone service, and I want to tell you how easy it is. I know you've heard me tell you about Pure Talk many times before. I know you already know right now when you sign up for a qualifying plan, $45 a month, you get a free Samsung Galaxy phone. You know all those things. You know how patriotic Pure Talk is. Do you know how easy it is to switch? When I tell you to dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, maybe you think you're in store for a long, miserable process. It's 10 minutes on the phone. 10 minutes on the phone and you're switched. Or keep your phone. Keep your number. Switch to Pure Talk. You don't sacrifice coverage. It's easy. It's fast. And a free phone? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.